Three.
And here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Michael, that's terrible.
Hey, look. It's my birthday month. I said I'm going to celebrate all month, though, and I celebrated a little bit last night, and I got with some friends, and one whose name I'm not going to call because I'd be indiscreet, Crystal.
Michael, what were you
talking about? It was not my fault. It was not my fault that I was hungover this morning. It was not my fault.
Whose fault was it, Michael?
It would have been different if I had 900 drinks. Only had one.
Oh, my God.
And it feels like when you started adding stuff to it, though, it just got stronger. I don't know what happened. I don't know.
All she did was add some orange juice, Michael. Come on now.
No, she added more than that, though. We had soda that we added earlier. And then it got strong, and
well,
then she put the juice in there, and it got even stronger. I don't know. I don't know. I've never drank that kind of whiskey before.
Excuses. Oh, you never had the best kind?
No, I've had whiskey before. I could drink Jack Daniel's straight. I don't know what that was.
Wow.
So I was up this morning praying to the liver god, but I'm all right. So anyway. But anyway, enough of my plight, because I can talk about that for at least another hour, but I'm not going to do that, though. I'm going to get right into the subject. And tonight's subject is Diary of a Black Man Dating. So, question, what are the dating goals of the average black male in today's society? Are they truly looking for that one special life partner, or are they just in pursuit of the hottest women in town, or just to claim bragging rights? So we're talking motives right here as well, like that. But before we get with that, though, I have to share this with you too. Earlier today, I was at a restaurant in downtown Dallas, and I guess it's kind of like a sports bar set up as well, like that. So a real nice place. I'm about to go back there as well, though. And I was waiting on an order, and I was watching on the TV screens. They had like two shows that they were broadcasting. One was like was dealing with cars, and the other one was dealing with pets. The one dealing with cars was like Motor Week or something like that as well. The one dealing with pets was like, you know, cute things that pets do or something like that. Though they had a cat on a little vacuum or something like that. You know, they had a dog that was moving its owner's hand out of the way when she would scratch him or touch him or something like that. They even had a cat combing a guy's beard. Now, I have nothing against people that have pets like that, dogs and cats, though, but there was this one video that they had that they showed that got my total attention, because at first I was watching the one with the cars, and then I started, but every once in a while I'd glance over to the screen and actually show the pets. And then when I glanced over, when I was looking at, they were showing like a BMW or something like that, and then I glanced over to the one that was showing the pets, somebody, and I am not making this up, somebody made a video of a chicken wearing a pair of pants.
Michael, never drink whiskey again.
Huh?
I said never drink whiskey again, okay?
No. I'm not making it up. I am not making it up. There was a picture of a black rooster with a pair of baby's pants, a blue pair of pants, and the rooster was shaking the hens around in the chicken yard. I am not making that up. It is actually out there. It is actually out there. And I knew one of y'all would be thinking that I made that up. No, I did not.
I didn't say you made it up. I'm just trying to figure out where we're going with this question. Were we asking us a question about the chicken with the pants on?
No. I'm just sharing the story. That's it.
Okay, don't ever drink again, okay? You are not allowed
really?
To have any
really?
Until your birthday.
Really? I was sitting at the bar, and I know I wasn't the only one that saw this stuff. I was sitting at the bar trying very hard not to crack up at this chicken wearing a blue pair of pants.
Well, why not?
It's a crying bar, though. You know, had it been 3 years ago, though, like, it would have been all over the crying. I'd have been on the floor.
Chris, so whatever you did to Michael, please do it again. Okay.
Well,
I'm just trying to figure out why the chicken got to be black. Well, the chicken got to be black. It was a black rooster. I mean, what are you talking about?
Rooster's not black, Chris.
And no, the pants were not tagging. It was a black rooster wearing a blue pair of pants. They had to belong to an infant.
Michael,
and I'm quite sure they didn't go there. Me being curious, so I wanted to see the video where they're putting the pants on the chicken. That's what I wanted to see.
Oh, it's called graphic design.
No, I want to see how that went down. Well, there's a chicken running around with a pair of pants, so that's kind of like, to me, that doesn't, you know. But I want to see him, you know, getting in the britches and then go. That kind of thing. That's what I want. I want to see that kind of stuff. I had fun last night. I did. I'm gonna say that. I actually enjoyed myself last night. I really did.
Well, good.
I told you, my friend, she's a nice, fun girl.
Yeah, she is. She is. So, you know, she should actually make a bar. She should. You
know? She's fun. She's hilarious.
Texas, but I'm just saying. Absolutely hilarious. So. I can't wait for the rematch. I just gotta, you know, make sure my medical claim is paid up. Huh?
Michael can't hang. You can't hang. You're not going back for a rematch.
Oh, bullshit. Don't even worry about it. I can hang. I'm all right. I just had to kind of realign myself this morning. That's it. I don't really drink on a regular basis like I used to. I don't.
Uh-huh.
But guess what? I made it home okay. I walked out of there straight. I didn't trip over nothing. No. I didn't sleep on the couch. None of that. No. Yeah.
But you thought you were.
Almost.
What was up, though?
Yeah, because it kept getting stronger every time I wanted to actually get you. Like, we put something in it, and it just amplified whatever it is, though. I need to find out what that is. But they didn't get that off the market. They going to kill somebody.
I think it was Hennessy or something.
No, it's like Maker's Mark or something like that. I never had
Maker's Mark. That's what it was. Because she was trying to make you an old-fashioned.
An old-fashioned?
Yeah, she said, let me make you an old-fashioned. I think she poured the whole bottle in it. It was funny.
Yeah, wasn't nothing old-fashioned about that, though. That was like a strong monster. I mean, that was like, woo, okay, cool. And that first sip, I was like, whoa. If it wins with the first sip, though, you already know you got a winner. You know, and if you
Michael can't hang, child. You can't hang with the big dogs, honey.
You crown and one shot of crown, and then let me go to sleep. Yeah, exactly. You don't need knockout drops or nothing like that. Though. You don't need to sleep with her. Just a shot of crown and she's gone. See you. It was interesting. What are you talking about? Really?
I'm just saying it was interesting.
Have you stopped smoking?
No.
See?
Have you learned how to hold your liquor?
Yep. I even held the liquor they gave me. I held it all over the house.
Waking up with hangovers.
I let it go. I was like, you're killing me. Anyway, now, dating goals and the diary of a black man dating. Now, I do have a few thoughts as far as this is concerned, but the simple fact is, you know, number one, nowadays, you know, dating for black men is, well, I guess it pretty much depends on that black man and if whether or not, you know, that brother is actually what his willing goal is. But then again, it pretty much only mirrors any other body, you know, anybody else's dating goal, anybody's goal as far as that's concerned, or so they think, because it's actually split into two camps. One is about finding that significant other. The other camp is about male conquest. Because think about it. Nowadays, especially online, though, it's pretty much the hunting ground. It pretty much is the hunting ground when it comes to that, though. So it's either one or the other. It just depends. Now, from what I've actually discovered, and not from a lack of trying, is that, like, specific ideas as far as that's concerned, though, like, you know, a lot of people really don't know exactly what it is they want, and that's male and female. Guys are supposed to know what they want, though, because they are pretty much the hunters, and women are the target. Now, the thing is, are we looking at women as meaningful pursuits? Are we looking at them as disposable pleasures?
Huh. Are you asking the question? Are you?
Yeah, I'm asking the question. Are we looking at, you know, do most women think that men are looking at women as like, you know, meaningful pursuits or disposable pleasures? What do you think?
I think it depends on the man and what they are wanting in that their life. You know, where they're at in their life, they're going to pursue. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But
do you think age has a bearing on that?
Pardon me?
Do you think age has a bearing on that?
No, I can't say that today. You know, it depends on a person's life and their background. I wouldn't say that because you could have a 50-year-old man that was married for 20 years and getting out into the dating world again, and he may not want that commitment again. You know what I'm saying? So he's pursuing women that are disposable. He's in his head. It's not something serious. You know what I mean? So it really just depends on what that person has done in their life, actually.
Okay.
I mean, there's 18-year-old that's ready to commit. You know, there's 25-year-old men that said, hey, you know, I'm ready to get married. And, you know, then you have 50-year-old men that's like, you know, I don't want to be in a relationship. I don't want to be in a committed relationship. You know, I just want to just go out and date and do whatever.
Yeah. But even with just dating, though, there is the idea of, I guess you could say the fleetiness, though. There's no real security in that. And you're going to come in contact with a lot of people that are actually looking for, you know, familiarity, security, trying to build something with that as well, though. And a lot of people aren't looking for it. And to me,
right. And
just my opinion, though, the value system has changed when it comes to relationships, period, though. I mean, it's like, you know, back in the day, it was like more married people than single. Now it's more single than married. The idea of commitment is gone from the idea of a mainstay to a death sentence, almost. The very idea of committing to one person, though, because you figure, like, you know, you're going to miss, you know, some figure that they're going to miss out on something they commit to one person. And their perception when it comes to relationships is skewed, too. And now the game players are look a lot like women now.
Right.
Yeah, because there are a lot of individuals out there that are playing some very serious games with that, though, out of fear, out of doubt, out of, you know, out of retaliation, out of just not really wanting to commit either as well. It used to be the guys were the ones who were scared of commitment, but now there are women that are scared of it. And it's hard to navigate all that. It really is. It's difficult to navigate it as well, though, especially if you come in with one frame of mind, though. Now, I have heard this about the idea of, like, unrealistic expectations. And you would think that some guys don't have it, though. But a lot of men, especially when they get to a certain age, begin to look back on their lives and they start realizing certain things that they just simply can't do anymore. I mean, you can't. You know, you have to wash your underwear. You have to, you know, you got to see the barber at least within 2 weeks, and you have to really especially if you wind up having friends that are in committed relationships or marriages. And you feel like that last lone bachelor. And then you start looking around you as well. And there's some things that you probably didn't notice or even think about like years ago, but you're starting to notice now. So now it's
but
like,
it
okay,
be,
so you thrust yourself, huh?
It could be vice versa. You know, a man that hangs around a lot of single men that are, and they're the only one that's married. You know what I'm saying? So it's that same concept, because if you're around, you start thinking you're missing something, or there's got to be more women out. You know what I'm saying? And with reality shows and all this fictitious things that we see now, and all the online dating and all the things that we have out there that makes it so accessible to married men or men that are in relationships or women, whomever is in a relationship. So why get married? Because they feel like I can date 100 women. I can talk to 50 women in a round of 1 hour. You know what I'm saying?
You'd have your pick when it came to that as well. There'll be a virtual smorgasbord, though, but someone on the line, and that's all well and fine, though, for somebody that just wants to play games and doesn't care. I'm talking about the guy that really actually wants to actually have something, though, but the market is so flooded with, you know, with negatives. How do you actually pull the positive out of all of that?
I mean, for me, I think that if a man knows what he wants, but I think some men are fearful because they think that they're missing something. They're looking for the perfect woman, like the perfect, she's this, she's that, she's this and this, that doesn't exist. The things that they see on television, the things they see on the internet, they're looking for those types of women and not necessarily looking for quality women. You know what I'm saying? That's why they get into these ridiculous situations when it comes to dating. You know what I'm saying? So women really get tired of when you said we're afraid of commitment. It's not that we're afraid of commitment. It's just the fact that men today are not like the men 20, 30 years ago that knew what they wanted to be married, wanted to have a family, wanted to have and deal with the family at the moment. Now they don't, you know, we are getting kind of tired of waiting to 5, 6, 7 years for them to decide they want to get married. And why get married? Piece of paper, you know, it's not that we're afraid of commitment, we're just kind of tired of waiting for that. You know, you see why women are asking men to marry them, because they're getting tired of that. And now myself, person, I'm not asking a man to marry me, it's just not going to happen, but I do have a friend that just did that. You know, she asked her man to marry her. I feel it's kind of weird.
That's what I mean by the value system is changing, you know, as well, though, that the idea that, like, now those traditional roles, they barely exist. You know,
right.
The only way they actually exist now, if they were grandfathered in, like, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Let me ask you, Michael, if you were dating someone, would you feel weird if she asked you to marry her?
A little.
I mean, would you? Oh, it's 2017. That's a cool thing to do. I mean.
No, no. Well, I mean, I understand that's a cool thing to do, that, but it would throw me off though, because I, you know, as a traditionalist, so that's kind of like my role, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's how I think. I like
yeah.
the dating, the courting, you know, the pursuit. That you know
yeah.
what I'm saying. I enjoyed that. So when I can't see myself, because I actually had a guy tell me, he was like, he said to me, well, I like to be pursued. It threw me off because I'm like, I don't know how to play that role. Like, I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do?
He likes to be pursued.
Yeah, he told me, he was like, I like to pursue me. And I'm like, well, how do we do that? Like, that's not our natural thing that we do. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
And he was like,
no, but there are women out there that do pursue.
But it seems so awkward. It's like you're chasing somebody, because I feel like if a man wants you, you can pursue, you can be persistent, but to just me date you and court you and do all that, that's a lot. That's a little much for me.
Yeah.
You know, I can
show
you I care without me, you know, getting on one knee and saying, will you marry me? I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Let me ask you something else, too, like that. You know, because earlier you mentioned, when you were talking, you mentioned something about the idea of quality women.
Right.
Now,
okay,
when it comes to that, quality. Well, when it comes to a quality woman, though, well, I mean, that's still more about the idea of, you know, what that person, what they're specifically looking for, correct?
Okay.
Or we're just talking overall quality as far as that's concerned, though, because I know, like, you know, not everybody is going to like make that criteria when it comes to that, though. Or is it just, you know, is it specifically geared up to what they're specifically looking for, though? Or, in your opinion, is there just like a bar that people have to reach in order to get to that point?
Okay. Well, I think that when I say quality women, you know, there's a lot of black women that want to be married. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be married. We want to have families. You know, we want that. But some men would much rather have some, you know what I'm saying, some young chick that don't have any type of goals or, you know, ambitions to do anything in life, and that's the one that he will pursue and want to marry. You know what I mean? So
okay. It's
because they have the perception of what they see on television, you know, all the big boobs, big butts. You know, they think that that's really a quality type woman when they have that, and that's not necessarily true.
True.
So when I'm thinking like quality, just meaning women that are I hate to say the ride or die thing, but but you know, quality women that really want to build something with someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That want to have, you know, the company together, want to support what you support, and we support each other. And most men that I've talked to, they all say, well, there's some women out there that want to build anything. They just want me to take care of them. And that's not true. To me, that's an insult to me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, no, that's not true. Because you're pursuing these women by physical aspects rather than someone that has mental aspects. You know what I'm saying?
True.
So that's a big difference. Because if you're looking at only the physical part of it, because your physical can change. As you get older, we all change. So if she doesn't have anything else to offer than that, then you're going to get that every single time. You're going to get someone that's not supportive and don't care about your dreams and goals and ambition.
Mm-hmm.
So most men want quantity. They want quality over quality. They want to have as many of them as they can have rather than having one good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm still saying that, you know, the preference would be for a quality person as opposed to a number of individuals, because a number of individuals could have like certain attributes you like, but the idea of actually finding all those qualities that are attracted to you though in one person, you know, is unrealistic, because everybody's different.
Not patient. If no one's patient anymore, no one wants to take time to get to know someone. We don't communicate. We don't talk about our feelings or what bothers us. We're not honest. We're not forthcoming. You know what I'm saying? We want to. We're not our authentic selves. We send representatives. We send these representatives to. If he says, "Oh, I like a woman that cooks clean and hangs from the chandeliers when we have sex," oh, we create that. And then when 3 months in, the fourth month, we're not doing any of that stuff. Because that's not my authentic self. I cook when I want to cook. I have sex when I want to have, you know. I'm just very honest and open about how I am. It's just either take it or leave it. But most women aren't like that because they want to create whatever that man wants. That's what she's going to create for him until they find out later that it's not who they are. And men do it too. They tell us everything we want to hear and what type of man he is. And I'm hardworking and I do all these things. And then when we get with him, they're nothing like that.
Well, you know, I mean, you make a real good point with that as well, though. The idea of, you know, trying to put on the air, trying to put on the show, trying to create the illusion and all that stuff, too. And I admit, I got caught up in that one as well, though. It was more about, and a good friend of mine brought that to my attention. The idea was more about the illusion as opposed to the person. And the illusion can be strong. And the illusion can truly, honestly, like, you know, take you in another direction. It truly can, though, as well, though. But then when you actually get to know the person, though, because actions speak a hell of a lot louder than anything that anybody could possibly tell you, then you see for sure. Then you see exactly what you're dealing with as well, though. And that, to me, is the one thing that we need to do overall more than anything else. So stop sending these representatives out here, though, and go and let them actually know exactly who you are. Because when it really boils down to it, that's who you're going to be dealing with. And then you can make a determination of whether or not you really want to deal with that, whether you want to deal with that person or not, though, if that's the person for you, if that's what you really want to be accustomed to on a regular basis. And I understand the idea of, you know, it's give and take. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be this, that, and the other as well, though. But sometimes you can be more caught up in the idea of what you want as opposed to actually seeing what's realistic.
It's really want over need. And I always say to my female friends, there's a thin line between love and lust.
Paper thin with the right, you know, especially when it comes to guys, it's paper thin, though, because, we, you know, it's a thin line because they think it's
lustfulness, you know what I'm saying? There's a difference, but it's so clouded sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Because what we think we love, it's really lust, because we're lusting for the things that I want. Our love is what our needs are. Lust is what we want. So we get confused sometimes between the two. You know what I'm saying? It's like he's this, he's doing that, or she's doing this, or she's doing that. Those are your wants, but she's not fulfilling your needs. So it's always a thin line between what you're loving and what you're lusting. And most men are lusting when women are lusting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We loving, men are lusting because that's why they – every, you know, boob that walk by and have a chick on the side and, you know what I'm saying, everything that comes on television, they, you know, it's they're lusting for those things. And they mistake that for being that they're in love with it.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, there comes a point to where, like, a lot of that becomes irrelevant. And you stop looking at the quantity side of things. You stop looking at the superficial part of things, though. And you start looking at the real part of things as well, though. You really start thinking about the type of person you want to spend an extended amount of your time, which you will not get back with. What type of person that's going to be, though? I mean, is it going to be like, you know, to me, it better be a good friend. It better be somebody you can actually, like, be yourself with, though, because when it all falls down, it's all said and done, they're going to have to be dealing with you. Not what you projected, not what you put on, not the show you put on. It's going to be you with everything that comes with you.
But the problem
is,
most people are afraid of who they are. When they look in the mirror, they're afraid of who they are. You know what I'm saying? You have to first know who you are as a person. You have to be able to accept your goods, your bads, you know, all the quality that you have within yourself before I can actually offer that authentic person to you. Most people don't do self-reflection. Most people don't admit their flaws. You know what I'm saying? So you have you have more people out here in the world that are sending representatives because they don't know who they are. You know what I'm saying? They have created this facade. You see what I'm saying? They've created these facades to people for so long. Most people look in the mirror, they would probably not be happy with the things that they have, that they do or how they really are. So that's why they send these people, you know, the representatives to, you know, to these, to, you know, to whom you're dating, because they don't really know who they are. And then when you find out who you are, sometimes it's when you're in a relationship and that person can see through that.
You know, I've always said that, like, you know, it is very hard for people to take a long, hard, unbiased look at themselves, though, because they might not like what they see. 9 times out of 10, they probably won't. They will not like it. They see themselves with all the ugliness and everything else that everybody possesses to a degree. They're not gonna like what they see, though, so they shy away from it. They push that away. They refuse it, like, you know, to accept it or even admit it. You know.
Because everybody has things in their closet that they're not happy about. But I feel like once you own something that you have, no one can throw it in your face. You know what I'm saying? It's not on rent for you to use against me because I own it. I own all my mistakes. I own all of my good things, my bad qualities. So anything that you say against me, you're going to get the 100% me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you. You ask me, I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. You know what I'm saying?
True.
So it's hard, but it took some time to get there. You know what I'm saying? When I got in my 30s, I started looking at myself differently. And I started saying, why do I keep meeting these same types of guys? Why don't I just tell them this is what I like? If it's, I like crazy sex, or I like this, why not just be who you are? You know what I'm saying? I was never being my authentic self. So once I realized who I was and my potential, that's just what I became. I just became myself. For the first, you know, first time at 30, I was actually happy with me, you know, the good and the bad. And it's hard. Because you don't want people to see that.
Well, if you take, you know, like I said, we're going back to the idea of, like, what a guy basically wants, what he needs to have as far as that's concerned. But I still believe also that, you know, you're going to start looking at that. You're going to start looking at all the possibilities and everything else as well. But, and you don't know where she is. You don't know where you're going to meet her. You don't know if it's going to be online, if it's going to be at an event, if it's going to be, you know, in a grocery store, if it's going to be pumping gas, if it's going to be, you know, in the office or a meeting or a trip or anything like that. But hell, you could be at a bowling alley with your friends, drinking, doing your thing, though, and all of a sudden you turn to your immediate left and she's standing right there and don't even realize it until it hits you.
Okay,
what
age are you when you do that?
What age when you do that, though?
Yeah.
I don't think
you like what?
What age? I'm thinking, you know, in your 20s, 30s, when did you start? I can't take anything away from somebody in their 20s, 30s, or 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I can speak on 50. Well, I can speak on all of it because I've been there. But
right.
You know, when it comes to the idea of, like, really, truly, you know, after some reflection, you know, after really actually finally kneeling, and I think you kind of hit on something as well about, like, knowing what you want. Period. In other words, not a guess, not a maybe. This is it. This is what I'm after. This is what I want in that woman, in that partner. This is what I'm after as well. Now, can anybody actually fill that gap? No. But you are going to come to realize that, though, and I don't think age has much of a bearing on it, though, as much as realizing that does. When you actually realize that. Because think about it, there's some people that have met in their 20s, and these young men knew that that was the one for them because of how she was. She fit that bill. I mean, it may not have been 100%, though, but it was at least 75% to 80%. You know, 75% to 80%.
Are you going through that now? Do you feel like you're at that point now? Is what you want out of a relationship, or just something that you've always wanted? You just haven't found what you're looking for.
Me personally.
Yes, you personally.
Here we go. Okay. Mike puts his Mike puts his dirty laundry out. No, not really. But we'll get the earphone out. Oh, now they're gonna start chiming. No, okay. I can honestly say this. It has been defined throughout the years for me. It has. Further defined.
Okay.
And I guess like it's kind of funneled down to, you know, to a few things as well, though, because at one time it was pretty broad because, yeah, I really didn't know. I'm going to say I did. I didn't. I had an idea, but it wasn't as pinpointed as it is now, I guess you could say. Because then it was like, you know, whoever fit the bill at one time. And that was like in my 20s, you know. And to me, at one point, it wasn't so much as about the idea of the person as it was the idea of having a relationship.
Okay.
So to a degree, there was settling to a degree.
Okay.
And as the years went by, it was further defined by other situations, other things. And also your circumstances also kind of define it as well. To a certain degree, they do. Because I've known guys that have gone out and looked for, you know, mothers for the children. You know, just straight up companionship. They wanted this individual to be able to go, you know, to just go along left or right. Like they look, you know, they wanted everything from, you know, from maids to sex slaves. You know.
Maids to sex slaves, huh?
Yes, they say, but also with that, you know, is the idea of actually being realistic. Now, me, I had to be realistic about a few things as well, though, because I had a specific set of circumstances over the years that actually developed. But now, at this point, it is about quality. It is about the idea, because, like, I'm 53. And there's
okay.
certain things that pretty much, like, went right out the window now when it comes to dating. Number one is, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, an attractive woman is an attractive woman, but you gotta look past the surface too. Because trust me, when the makeup was worn, when the makeup and the weed goes away,
mm-hmm.
then what? You know, because I don't know a woman that wears makeup to bed.
Unless I'm drunk and fell asleep.
Yeah, unless she passed out right there. That's the only way I'm going with her, like to get up to La La Land. That's the only way, though. A lot of women are into, you know, fitness and all this stuff too. They join gym, they do yoga, they do, you know, everything else as well about that. But not everybody's gonna look like a supermodel. I don't care how much body they do. Okay. You know, and not everybody's going to look. In other words, this woman is not ever going to look like that woman because they are two different people.
Exactly.
And the one that looks like a supermodel though could be superficial as hell, while the other one that doesn't look like a supermodel could be loyal as hell. So somewhere along the line, though, you have to be realistic with that as well, though. But as a man, you have to realize that, though. But that only comes from self-realization, exactly what's quality, what's not, what's BS, what isn't, what's going to fly and what isn't going to, and what's going to last long as well. Don't get me wrong, and I always make this when I talk to my friends, I always make the comparison to cars, okay? Ferraris are
mm-hmm.
beautiful. They're just not practical. They're not.
Right.
Okay. A Toyota, on the other hand, though, can be both beautiful and practical. It's not as beautiful as a Ferrari is, though, but you know what? You know, there's no way in the world that when it comes to gas mileage that Ferrari can hang with that Toyota. Because 30 miles of the gallon trumps 9 miles of the gallon any day.
Wow.
There's a reason why you don't see there's a reason why you don't see a whole bunch of Ferraris around though. They are costly. They're going to cost
mm-hmm.
you. And that's the one thing like that. Because I know there are women out there that see attractive guys all the time, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a good catch. You know, Yeah, he may look like Idris Elba in the face and built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like from the from neck to the ankles. But if that brother doesn't have a job, I rest my case. As soon as you find out there's no income in there, it all comes to freaking off. Or no gold and all like that though. You're gonna put brakes on that quick. And then another big one, for women as well that I found out too though, that if when it comes to performance, if that's a problem, they'll drop you like a bad habit.
That's not necessarily true.
Some will try to work that out as well, though. But I've known some that just say no way.
Think about it. It depends on the love and lust situation. You know what I'm saying?
I'm working
on a project now that's talking about that. Can you love a man can't perform if he's under the age of 40? Would you be able to, or just a man period, something happened and it didn't work, would women today stay with their significant others? And you're going to be shocked what you find out too.
Wow.
So I'm going to definitely send you a copy of that because we're actually still kind of surveying and talking to women right now. And, you just amazed, the basis of what they're saying is that it has a lot to do with really how much you love or if you're in love with that person. Sex is really not a huge part of a real relationship as people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Most people think that, out of 100%, sex is really somewhere around about 20% of the relationship because everything can't be built around sex. It has to be communication, trust, loyalty, respect, spirituality. Those things have to be strong and intact to even have a functional, healthy, enjoyable sex life. You know what I'm saying? So if that's a real relationship, if you're just having sex and it's fun and it's great, it's lustful sex. So I'm not in love with you. So if your dick stop working, I'm sorry. If your penis stop working.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Just go. Just tell us how you. Let it hang on out. Okay. That's why I don't worry about censorship on this show because it can happen at any time.
If your penis,
I know I'll be getting
working,
called about the G word.
Then, right? I know, right? I'm so sorry.
Did she say that on my hair? I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, she did.
I know, right? Well, they said on television. They said on television. But I get it. They're not going to stay. If I'm in love with you and it's not working, I love you beyond that. So we can find a lot of things, and I know a lot of tricks. So I ain't worried about that part.
Well, okay, then.
You're going to have to go in a little trick bag,
I'm going to have to find the corner for this show. I'm going to put you in. Wow.
But I was reading in my research that, if it stops working, that if women are patient and do certain things, it brings it back to life.
This is turning into a whole different show. Hold up.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying.
That's Crystal.
Boom. Okay.
Y'all are so funny.
If a woman isn't satisfying when it comes to that as well, though, and I know a lot of guys actually home in on that, though, because, I've heard too many horror stories of guys initially bringing that up 15 minutes into the game. And I do mean a sheer 15 minutes. Before we even get to that point, But and which pretty much actually shows the woman that they're preoccupied with this. That's the only thing they're worried about, though. And that brings them to the ones who are trying to get the notches on their belt. Those are the ones that have to do with, they have to close their score as quickly as possible. They're not the ones actually looking for like something long term. They're not. And that's what, and because there's so much of that, though, that in a way kind of saturates the market for the guys that are actually looking for something. Because you got women out there thinking that the next guy they run into, though, I mean, some actually sit there waiting, you know, for that guy to actually slip up and say that very same thing, so she can hit the button on him, you know, and on that trap door and just let him fall down. So guys are up against that as well, though. They figure like, okay, well, someone online, I got to try to find some way that I can make this, you know, make this work, or maybe not. But even with that, though, you know, you don't want to be, like I said, you're going to reach a certain point to where, you know, it isn't going to be about the superficial. It isn't going to be about how good she looks in that dress. It's going to be more about how she is when it all falls to the floor. Is she going to be there? Because, and you know, once again, you know, we're looking at a foundation. Do you even have a foundation with whatever it is you're actually putting together as well? And like I said, like a lot of, there's no patience when it comes to that. There's no taking the time to build that. There's no trying to put together something that's worthwhile. But if you think about it and you see it, what other people have, somewhere along the line, you're going to want that too.
I won't say everyone, but most people, they do. You know,
yeah.
It's just depending on where they want it in their life. Like, at what point of their life do they want that type of relationship? You know, I know some women and some men that just really don't want to be in a committed relationship, you know, and then sometimes it's hard to understand that. You know, they just want to date.
Is it more about because they had such a bad go with others?
I think sometimes it's selfishness. I think it's selfish because, you know, relationships work, and each person has, it's a give and take, you know what I'm saying? And some people are so self-absorbed and egotistical that they feel like they don't want to share anything with anyone. They'd rather use a woman, you know, and use her for what she can get out of it and then go on to the next because they don't want to. So they're just complete selfish people. And we have that in the world. Women and men are selfish. So just like some people just don't want to have children. They don't want, because they don't want to have to share that sometimes. They don't want to have to give to other people. You know what I'm saying? So people do that in their relationships. You know, so that's really what it boils down to being. Because, you know, we can be great women for some very selfish men. You know, we can give 110%, and they're only going to give you about 1%. And that's going to be, that's including sex and emotion and everything all in one. You know what I'm saying? And then we stay there, we fight, and we try to get them to be unselfish and teach them how to be unselfish. But at the end of the day, if they're not ready to do it, it's just never going to change. We're just kind of beating our heads.
Okay. No, I get what you mean as well, though, you know, because you're going to have some give and take somewhere online. You are. You're going to have to wind up actually being willing to, as much as you actually want this, you're going to have to be able to give too.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to have one without the other. It's simply not going to happen. You're going to have to be willing to give. You're going to have to be willing to explore. You're going to have to be willing to, you know, really, truly be that other end of that equation. You are. But not everybody's willing to do, like I said, they're not willing to do that because they don't trust. They don't, you know, they're allowing things of the past to, I guess, once again, like, put them in that mind frame.
If we let our past dictate our future, we'll never see what's in front of us. If people, you know, I hear people, you know, we all say, oh, I had a bad relationship, and I went through all these things, and this happened to me, so it makes me this type of person. And I always just tell people, when you're so busy looking back, you'll never see what's in front of you. So if I keep harping on what happened in the past, then that's where I'm going to always be. You know what I'm saying? Mentally, emotionally, that's why I always say I'll never grow. You'll never change. So I can't be that I had a bad relationship in my past. That's why I treat women this type of way, or this is why I don't want to be in a relationship and I don't want to commit. It boils down to, A, you don't know who you are as a man, okay? You don't know what you want. So I wouldn't want to date you anyway because you don't even know what you want. And then, B, you're selfish. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't want to give. They don't want to give. They want to take but don't want to give. So I wouldn't want that either. So you see a lot of men today not in relationships just because they're still very selfish and they really haven't came into their manhood. Like you said, you know, you get to a point when you start looking at people, your couples around you, you start looking at your life, you start reflecting on, well, you know, dang, I want a companion to live with, you know, I want to have a life. You start doing it because that's self-growth. You're not ready. You don't want to be running around from girl to girl. You know what I'm saying? You're not trying to get a notch on your belt. You know, that's not important to you anymore. Because what's going on in the world today, you know, to even be doing all that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And you truly do have to determine a few things, right? Because it's just gotten to a point, it gets to a point where, like, you do have to kind of narrow some things down. You do have to really think about that. And you start wondering and, you know, thinking about, okay, like, you know, I just, like, you start reeling the values in. And you start looking for quality as opposed to quantity. And you should really start thinking about and reflecting things as well. But is it too late? No. Is it possible? Yes. But only with the right person.
That it's impossible?
I said it's possible. It's not impossible. You just still have to kind of like look for the right person for you, because not everybody's going to fit that bill. But I think the key is also, like, you know, even though I know the journey can be tedious, it can be crazy, but you still need to learn while you're going on that quest. And you're going to learn. If you experience, you're going to learn. You're going to learn. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. You're going to learn about what you want and what you don't want. Everybody always knows what they don't want, though. But if you're really paying attention and you're really actually looking into it, though, you're going to define more and more what you really want. Because in a lot of ways, the journey and the individuals you encounter will teach you that.
You know, you gain wisdom and experience with age. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you can't be 21 and have all this experience, but you have a lot of experience at 41. You know what I'm saying? So I think people that want to get married at 18, 25, I don't have no problem with that. My children, myself, have got married young. You know what I mean? But you are less experienced in so much of life. You know what I'm saying? Then when you're making a decision, that's why you see the divorce rate completely going up. You know what I'm saying? Because by the time they get 30, then all of a sudden they have this self-reflection, like, okay, this is not what I want. I'm not happy. You know what I mean? So I really believe that you need to experience some things before you make those commitments into a real relationship.
Also, even at that age, though, if you go in realistically, though, and I know some people that actually have, going on real realistically about what they have, what they want, what they want to actually build up as well, though. And that works for them. But that particular dynamic, though, but it's not going to work for everyone else as well, though. And that's when it comes to the idea of doing that, though, I still think you really do have to, since it's uniquely your relationship with whomever. Is it possible?
Well,
to
you know, and I still think, I think if you get married at 18, you know, and I've talked to people too that's not married like 18, have been married, you know, 30 years, you know, 40 years. But in those 30 years and 40 years of marriage, they experienced so many things in that situation, and there was infidelity in there. There was, you know, children sometimes. You know, a lot. It's loving them through that is the issue. You know what I'm saying? Because just because you've been married 40, 50 years, and you got married in your 18th, doesn't mean that it didn't come with a lot of changing, growing, and experiences. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, some cheat, they do all these things because at 18, you haven't experienced part of the life that makes you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're trying to do that and be a family man and have, you know what I'm saying, you haven't experienced. So when you get 30, you're going to want that.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
you're going to want to experience those things. So I think that, you know, as you get, when you become like 30, I think you start looking at those things. I think some men start looking at it a little differently if they had all that fun when they was in their 20s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some men never grow out of it. You know what I mean? Some men just like, you know, I want to party for the rest of my life.
That's true.
So it just depends on the man. It definitely depends on, you know, what life experiences he's had.
Exactly. So
for sure.
We still have to truly think about what we want. We do have to kind of think about what we want. We do have to, like, define what works for us. We have to be realistic with ourselves as well as other people. And we definitely have to make a command decision on whether or not we're going to be grown men, actually, you know, whether we want to take that journey, whether we want to truly actually commit. You know, because like I said, some guys don't want to. They really don't want to commit to that. So they don't. They simply don't, though. It could be fear. It could be doubt. It could be, you know, just a belief system that they've actually had for a number of years as well, though they didn't want to come close to it, though. But if they look beyond the surface when it comes to that, though, they can actually see, you know, the benefits of commitment, especially if you're with the right person. And the one thing that I don't want to do is settle. I don't. I don't encourage anybody to settle, though. But the simple fact is, this is your life we're talking about.
Right.
I don't want to be with somebody just so I can say I'm with somebody, though. I want to be with somebody that I want to be with, and I want that person to want to be with me. I'm not dragging anybody anywhere, and I don't want anybody dragging me anywhere. We either walk together or we walk separately. It's that simple.
Okay, I got you.
I'm
with you on that
100%. Yeah, exactly.
Me too.
No, it would not be dragging me nowhere, and I'm not dragging you no damn where, though. No, but this isn't a couple of trailers competing. No, we're going to walk together.
Not trailers.
Yeah, you know, it really, like, you know, good, bad, you know, pass or fail, you know, hell or high water, fire and brimstone, whatever. Like, you know, exactly. But by the same token, I want you to be there with me when all the storms are going down, though, as well as when the sun is shining, because I'm going to do the same for you. In other words, when all hell is breaking loose and all this stuff, too, like that, I commit to you. That means I'm there with you, period. Come hell or high water. It isn't going to be like, you know, a situation where I'm only going to be there when, you know, it's like, you know, sunny and 90 degrees. No, that's not
realistic
at all.
I may not
want to
be with you when it's sunny and 90 degrees because that's kind of hot.
You know what? You're going to be with me no matter what. Hush. Okay, so. We need you clear.
Think on that.
But thank you, ladies. We're getting ready to actually pull up out of here as well, though. And as usual, thank you, ladies. I appreciate the boss and the input, though. And you, Vanessa, you need to go on. Down to write a book. Just go and write the damn book.
Well,
but leave your boy Dick out of it, okay?
That is wrong. You know, I can't do that. I can't do that. That wouldn't be me.
We're wrapping this one up right here, so this time I have to get to go to sleep. Thank you, ladies, thanks for joining me tonight. I want to, with 60 seconds on the clock, here we go. I'm going to wish everybody a great rest of the week, a great weekend, and join us back here next Tuesday here on the Mike and Vince Show, blogtalkradio.com. And you know what? The hell with Deadpool. I'm going to cue the music.